I really appreciate Seeker.com for addressing this issue. Something that I raised a little earlier has to do with sickle cell anemia. I was mentioning I was asking that people would join us in prayer that much more time, energy, and many more resources would be devoted to studying sickle cell anemia, looking for more effective and safe, efficient treatments, possibly cure. And so I want to let us hear what they're going to be saying about sickle cell anemia now. Listen to this.
Imagine for a minute that your blood cells are shaped like sickles, sort of like that thing that the image of death carries. Ouch, right? But what exactly causes our friendly little red blood cells to turn against us? Sickle cell anemia is a blood disorder where instead of supple, soft, frisbee red blood cells that live for 120 days, your body forms stiff, pointy, sickle-shaped cells that only live for 10 to 20 days. RBCs need to be soft and pliable to squeeze through your blood vessels safely and efficiently. So when they're pointy, they can get stuck in there. When this happens in the chest, abdomen, or joints, it can cause pain. If they get stuck in the hands or feet, you can get swelling. And of course, if they get stuck in vital organs, they can cause infections, or if they get caught in the eye, vision problems. And if that wasn't bad enough, the brittle cells can break apart, delaying oxygen delivery and causing fatigue. This all sounds terrible. It was first described in 1910 in a dental student named Walter Clement Noel, who went to a doctor in Chicago complaining of pain. But this student wasn't from Chicago, he was from Grenada. Sickle cell anemia predominantly affects approximately 1 in 400 African American births. It was a disease known in Africa for about 5,000 years, but it had never been described in Western medicine before about 100 years ago. The doctor in Chicago, whose name was James B. Herrick, was the first to describe it in a paper, and over the next century, many doctors have attempted to uncover just how this debilitating disorder works and why it mainly affects those of African descent. In the 1930s, a DC-based doctor named William Cardozo was one of the first black doctors to conduct research into this disease, and he did so with a grant from Alpha Phi Alpha, the first black fraternal organization. Cardozo felt that research into sickle cell anemia had, quote, reached an impasse, and that no one had yet found the cause of this horrible disease. If someone could provide a new stimulus to get the research going, he wrote, maybe we could discover more. His research, published in 1937, helped medicine realize that sickle cell anemia was inherited. Thanks to his research, we now know that sickle cell anemia came from us. And he helped explain why it mainly affected people of African descent, which is huge. While he was working on that, other doctors started to realize that this disease was based on oxygen content in the blood. In fact, Quebecois researchers in 1930 Montreal took a 7-year-old black girl and restricted blood flow to her finger with a rubber band. This probably wouldn't pass an ethics board today. In doing so, they found, though, that sickle cells formed in the low oxygen environment of her fingertip. They learned that with a bit of hypoxia, or lack of oxygen, the normal cells could collapse into all manner of weird and pointy shapes, nearly instantly returning to normal when exposed to air. Their methods were questionable, to say the least, but the results did shape future research. In the mid-20th century, doctors discovered that a single amino acid was responsible for the hemoglobin on the red blood cells that caused the sickling. But now that we understand the disorder enough to try and solve it, unfortunately, we're at another moment when we may need more new stimulus, like Cardozo said. According to a clinical investigation from 2007, there are many possible treatments for this disease, including a bone marrow transplant, but there is still no cure. One option is medicine that helps fetuses develop more hemoglobin, but it can make the disease worse. Maybe in the future, we could get genetic manipulation of the systems that help our bodies create blood using genome engineering or gene therapy. But for now, sickle cell anemia is just out there, a life-threatening thorn in many people's sides. Cardozo was one of many doctors of many races in the hunt for causes of sickle cell anemia. He's notable because in the 1930s, doctors that looked like him were often not welcome in the halls of medicine. That he was able to make a discovery for a disorder that affected so many people that also looked like him is a pretty big deal. So we're happy to recognize the part he played in this story for Black History Month. Whenever I think of red blood cells, I think of those soft frisbees that I used to throw around when I was a kid, hit my brothers with them. Maybe that's why I think of RBCs as just so darn friendly. Thanks for watching, Seeker. You can come find us on social media. Just look for Seeker.
I'll tell you, what do you think about that? I truly appreciate them for raising that issue because it is very significant. Like I said, it troubles mostly people of color, particularly in the black race, people of African descent, and it can be significant. I mean, you talk about life expectancy and other things. It can be serious. And so I am hoping, and I really do mean it, when I ask you to pray, and not just once, but pray a number of times. Pray, pray, pray. Even if it's only several times during the year, not just for 1 year. Pray several times. I'm not even asking you to do it every day. Several times each year. Pour your hearts out to God and ask him to have the people some kind of way come from somewhere with money, much money, resources, the necessary resources, skills, all this needed to help us do much more to gain a better understanding of how to effectively and safely, efficiently treat sickle cell anemia. As we close, I would like to share a poem, I guess you could call it. It's a prayer poem, poetic prayer that has helped so many over quite a bit of time. I'd like to share this with you as we continue to deal with stressors and things like that. The Serenity Prayer. I'm going to do something this time, though, that I've done in the past but haven't done for a while, and that is read the prayer in its entirety. Of course, starting out with the part that we're most familiar with, because it's the part that we normally see when we see it written on a poster or whatever. But I'm going to move from the part that we normally read to bring you the rest of the story, the rest of the prayer. Here it is. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. That's the prayer. Here's a word I'd like to share with you very briefly, but very significantly. If you've been making a mess of your life and it's causing you problems with your self-esteem, etc., I want you to know the way out of that is not through denial, but through integrity. Force yourself to take a close, hard, honest look at who you've been, at who you are, and deal with that person. Deal with who you have been. Deal with who you really are. That is the only way you'll put yourself in position to make the necessary changes. Till next time.